Diplomacy. By the dead, diplomacy was hard work. So, you see, Leo stumbled on, the closed council have to be stopped before they do more damage. We need good men in charge, honest men, patriots.
How are I? Grunted Stour, tossing a bone onto the floor.
The great wolf made no effort to hide his boredom at all this talk of tax and injustice and patriotism, and Leo hardly blamed him. When Isha spoke about this stuff, it made sense right off, but Leo was always tripping on the details. And here, at a feast in Scarling's Hall, surrounded by red-handed warriors, the arguments all sounded so flimsy and ridiculous. By the dead, he was boring himself. There'd been enough bloody talk. What he needed to do was do. But one thing he'd learned over the last year, before you draw your sword, you need to know how you'll win. To win, he needed the King of the Northmen. Flattery always did the trick for Savine. Leo puffed out his cheeks, looking at the crowd of named men down the great horseshoe of tables.
You've summoned quite the host, he said. The North seems stronger than ever, more united than ever.
Why wouldn't it be?
Black Calder leaned past his son to point a frown at Leo, as hostile as a drawn dagger.
Now, father, Stour wagged a greasy finger. I said be polite.
When it came to flattery, Leo was more used to taking than giving. He wished he was down there with the warriors, drinking and singing and slapping backs, with no worries but a sore head in the morning. By the dead, diplomacy was hard work. He felt Savine's gentle touch on his arm.
You fought the man and won, she murmured in his ear. Surely you can talk to him.
The thing about killing a man, you could do it in a moment. Bringing him around to your way of thinking took so much patience. And how could you even tell when it was done? Kill a man, he stayed dead. Change his mind, he always had the bloody chance to change it back.
Reckon I'd rather fight him again.
He glanced over and caught Black Calder glaring back,
especially with his father judging every word. If I had known we were bringing overbearing parents, we could have packed some of our own.
Savine sat forward. I must say that you speak the common tongue wonderfully well, Lord Calder. She could usually slit a man right open with one compliment, but Black Calder was better armoured than most.
My own father always said it serves a man well to learn the ways of his enemies, he grunted.
And even better, to learn the ways of his friends. I have been trying to garner some words of Northern, but I fear I am a poor study.
Oh, no doubt, Calder snorted. The first thing I think when I look at you is, there's a woman who's not crafty enough.
Leo clenched his fist around his eating knife. He was damned if he'd let this old prick insult his wife. But before he could speak, Savine's hand clamped tight on his sore thigh and cut him off in a pained squeak.
You, I think, are a man with craft to spare.
The ruder Calder got, the wider she smiled. Perhaps you might tell me something of the history of Scarling's Hall.
What am I, some bloody storyteller?
Father!
Growled Stour.
There isn't a man in this hall wouldn't kill for the chance to teach the Lady Governor a few words of Northern. Stop insulting my guests and make yourself useful.
With bad grace, which seemed the only grace he had, Black Calder stood, leaned close to his son's ear, and whispered loud enough for everyone to hear.
They want something. Don't say yes because you feel you should, or because you feel you're bored, or because of anything you feel. You understand? Make sure they pay.
I know what to do, snapped Stour.
Savine gave Leo a wink as she took Black Calder's bony hand and let the old man lead her from the dais.
Black Dow fought the Bloody Nine right there, he was saying.
You saw it yourself,
breathed Savine, as if she'd never been so thrilled. Stour worked his tongue around his sharp teeth as he watched them go.
Whatever my father says, it's quite the honour to host you, young lion. And your wife,
though's clearly as clever as she is beautiful, and I dare say knows a lot more northern than she's letting on. But I don't reckon you suffered our roads all the way up to Carlion for my ale and my father's stories."
He licked his fingers while he looked sidelong at Leo.
"What are you after?"
Now was the moment, then. Courage, courage. He was the young lion, wasn't he? He leaned in, speaking in an urgent whisper.
"The closed council have to be stopped."
"And you're the man who'll do it?"
"We're the men who'll do it."
Stour raised one brow as if he had his doubts.
"I want you with me on a grand adventure."
Leo tried to elbow through the detail and summon up some passion.
"To win glory and set the world right and make friends of every decent man in the Union."
Sad to say, Stour didn't slit his hand and swear a blood oath to their alliance on the spot. Instead, he sat back, toying with his ale cup.
"So, you're asking for warriors of the North to sail to Middleland in their thousands and fight against the big king in Adua?"
"Yes."
Leo thumped his knife point down into the table and left it wobbling there.
"You see it?"
"Who's with you?"
"The great lords of the Open Council, Isher, Huygen, Barazin and more. Famous names."
Leo paused, but he'd been honest with Ricker. Honesty would serve him best with Stour.
"And Ulfrith."
Nightfall showed his teeth. You couldn't deny he was a handsome bastard, especially when he was angry.
"Paid that long-eyed little witch a visit, did you? The two of you used to be proper close, if I remember."
Stour stuck his greasy thumb in his mouth and made a little popping sound.
"You got away with the women, young lion. That I can't deny."
Leo glanced towards Savine, who was draining an ale horn, while a group of warriors watched in rapt admiration. Even Black Calder had a look of some respect as she wiped her mouth and held it out for more.
"Please," she said, "my mother drinks more on a workday morning."
Those men who could speak common laughed, and the ones who couldn't pretended they could and laughed even louder.
"But I'm not a woman," said Stour. "And my father might be quite the carper, but he knows a thing or two. So the question keeps drifting past. What's in it for me? You offering a piece of Middleland?"
Leo laughed.
"No one in the Union would ever stand for that."
"A slice of Angland?"
Leo frowned. "I'd never stand for that."
"Ulfrith, then?"
"I think we settled that question in the circle," said Leo stiffly.
"Dare say you want me on my best behaviour, too."
Stour stuck out his bottom lip.
"Not even a little pillage on the way to battle?"
"We have to get the people of Middleland on our side," said Leo. "We're coming to free them, not rob them."
"So, the way you're telling it, your grand adventure's going to cost me money. You're saying you'll be my friend and your Open Council will thank me and the people of Middleland will love me, but look around you."
And he gestured towards the hall full of warriors.
"I'm shitting friends and pissing thanks. I'm a real lovable bastard."
"Think of it, though. The young lion and the great wolf side by side, our banners flying together."
Leo shook his fist between them, trying to light the fire in Stour he always felt at the thought of armoured men tramping, horses prancing, cheers of triumph.
"Think of the songs sung of our victory."
But all Stour gave Leo was another dose of the side-eye.
"Once you've heard one song of victory, you've heard them all. Swap the names out and it's the same spears shaken and horns blown and bodies carpeting the glen and all that shit. You see my friend Clover down there?"
And he pointed out that balding bastard, the one who'd had the girl beside him with all the belts.
"That fat foal used to be Jonas Steepfield."
"Steepfield?" Leo frowned.
"The one who held the pass at Greybreaks? The one who killed Cairm Ironhead?"
That one.
"He had all the glory a man could ask for. Now look at the fucker."
"I thought you and I were the same, men who care for nothing but victory."
Stour hooked his chain with a thumb and held it up.
"I'm a king now, young lion. ain't just a question of winning, it's what you win.
I'd rather not bring up your debt.
Don't then,
Leo carried on through gritted teeth.
But there is one.
My life, you mean?
Stour grinned. The men the Bloody Nine beat in the circle were bound to serve him all their days. But we live in different times. And even if I was willing to clean your boots, no one else here owes you a fucking thing. You'll find no one better with a sword than me, young lion. You know that. But I doubt I'll beat the whole union on my own.
Leo took a disappointed swig of ale.
I never expected the great wolf to turn coward.
The sharpest barb he could find, and it bounced off Stour's grin.
Coward I may be, young lion, but I'm a coward you need.
Leo couldn't deny it. He slumped back and watched the warriors roar in delight as Savine called them cunts in Northern and pretended not to understand.
By the dead, diplomacy was hard work.